You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Delighted to be joined by Faraz Sarwat of the Toronto Star. Crick info and wisdom, but I just call him the Almanac, because what he doesn't know about cricket, frankly, isn't worth knowing. He has been following very closely the Asia Cup. And Faraz, I was following a couple of your tweets as you were following the tournament, and it seems to me that if Bangladesh isn't exactly a nation in mourning, there were certainly tears shed because they got pretty close to winning the whole thing.
Yes, that's right. You know, for Bangladesh to do well in a tournament is rare. And in a short format tournament like this, you know, they were actually doing very well. They beat India, they beat Sri Lanka in the round robin stage. They ran Pakistan pretty close. So they were actually improving as the tournament went along, and certainly had their sights on this tournament. And it would have been a, you know, a really big thing for Bangladesh to be the champion side in Asia. And, you know, they were playing at home, a stadium full of fans. The prime minister is there. They really thought they had this one. So it's obviously going to be, you know, deeply sad for them to not come through this game triumphant.
Is it about home advantage, or is Bangladesh, do you sense, making significant strides and competing on almost an even keel with its neighbours?
Well, I think the home conditions has a lot to do with it. Bangladesh aren't really that competitive outside of their own country. And even in their own country, they're not all that competitive. So this is something that's kind of rare. I do feel, though, that they are improving as a side. They're gradually adding pieces to the puzzle, gradually adding players, and that makes a difference to how they do. Shakib Al Hassan, their best player, is in the form of his life, and that certainly makes a difference. They had a player in Tamim Iqbal who had something to prove. He'd been dropped from the side. He was actually selected for the side and then dropped at the behest of the president, then reinstated into the side. So he had something to prove, and he, you know, batted very, very well throughout the tournament. So they were a fired up kind of side, and they thought that this was their best chance to win a tournament, and they came very close.
Sounds suspiciously to me like politics reared its ugly head here.
Well, you know, that's an inescapable part of cricket, particularly in Asia. Politics is deeply entwined with cricket, just because, you know, cricket is such a huge sport. It's more than a sport, really, and it, you know, permeates every aspect of society. So yes, the politicians are involved in cricket, and everyone, you know, wants a piece of it, and they do interfere with routine cricketing matters.
So what does Bangladesh take away from the Asia Cup? I suppose the tournament itself can raise its head with a little bit of pride, because not too many people outside that region have taken too much notice of the Asia Cup in recent years. So perhaps this near miss by Bangladesh has rejuvenated the tournament itself.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are two different things here. One is, what does this do for Bangladesh? Well, I think it does a little bit for them, because they come out of this tournament with their reputation enhanced, that they can go toe-to-toe with some bigger teams, and it's no longer just a question of a good performance being a one-off, that they can consistently perform. Now, whether that continues is another matter, but certainly in this tournament they did well. Now, as far as the Asia Cup itself is concerned, I mean, I'm always quite amused by any kind of comment that, you know, this is a tournament nobody cares about. Well, you know, who are these people who don't care about it? And what is this about, you know, the tournament being irrelevant? I mean, I've heard people talk about the ICC Champions Trophy being an irrelevant tournament, the Asia Cup being an irrelevant tournament, bilateral ODI series are apparently irrelevant. So what's relevant? Only the World Cup. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, the Asia Cup is a big tournament. You know, Asia is, you know, the center of cricket. And, you know, the biggest teams are there. Some of the biggest teams are there. India, certainly. And, you know, Pakistan is a big market. You know, Sri Lanka, former world champion, Pakistan, former world champion, India, former, you know, current world champion and a former champion. So there are a lot of good teams there. So I don't quite understand why the Asia Cup has a bad rep.
And yet, maybe it's just the geographical position in which we sit that it doesn't get, perhaps, as you suggest, the attention it perhaps deserves. And perhaps the fairy tale that almost came to fruition, as far as Bangladesh is concerned, will just give it that momentum that it needs outside Asia itself.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that, Nigel, because I think it also gives the tournament a narrative. So the next time, you know, the Asia Cup rolls around, there is a continuity in the narrative about, you know, how Bangladesh did, and are they, you know, going to go the next step this time, and, you know, things along those lines. Now, I think the Asia Cup in the past has also suffered from the fact that it's it's been held irregularly. It was supposed to be, you know, something that happened every 2 years, but it doesn't always happen that way. And depending on the politics of the region, sometimes one team isn't there, the other team isn't there. You know, that has happened a lot, and that maybe is a knock against the tournament. But I think they'll certainly strive for more consistency, and even in formatting, because it's not always the same team. Sometimes they do invite the Asian associates in the region. Sometimes they don't invite them. This time they kept the tournament tight and only kept the full members in there. So I think the tournament will continue to kind of get better as it goes along.
Well, fans need their routine, and it needs to be a credible tournament held on a regular basis. And as you've just described there, that isn't always the case.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly a tournament where you have, you know, four main teams, if a major team is missing, if India isn't there for some reason or Pakistan isn't there, it really does take away from the tournament. And we've actually had that where, you know, there have been editions of the Asia Cup held where India wasn't there for one reason and Pakistan wasn't there for another reason. So if those kinds of things are kind of kept out of it, I think the tournament will, you know, will continue to enhance its own reputation. What's kind of interesting to me is that, you know, Bangladesh has obviously become the storyline, and that's good, because I think that's certainly, the main story coming out of it is how this small team has progressed. But let's also not lose sight of the fact that Pakistan are Asian champions, you know, and again, this is a team that has been deprived of, you know, playing at home, you know, for a couple of years now, and has basically just been on the road. Every game for them is an away game, you know, and for them to kind of be Asian champions, I think it's kind of poignant, because, you know, the Asian champion can't play at home. And that's also a storyline, I think, that needs to be explored and at least talked about a little bit.
We will look forward to Asia Cups in years to come. Before I let you go, and while we're talking about Pakistan, a little story caught my eye this week for us about the Pakistan Cricket Board encouraging Mohammed Amir, you'll remember he was the spot fixer who went to prison, to appeal against his 5-year playing ban. He says he was trapped. PCB seems to be saying, well, he's done his time, he's only a kid, give him a second chance. Thoughts?
Well, I think so. I mean, there's certainly something to be said about that, given his age, the situation he found himself in. There are a lot of people who would like to see some lenience for him, particularly because he has at this point owned up to what he did, and he's saying all the right things about how, in spite of everything, it was all his fault, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the ban that was imposed on Mohammed Amir, the 5 years, is actually the minimum that the ICC could have imposed on him. I think there is some suggestion that if they could have gone for a lower ban, they would have, but they didn't have that option. So 5 years is what they gave to him. Now, the question is, at the Court of Arbitration for Sport, how successful would a Mohammed Amir appeal be? And the legal advice that he's received seems to indicate that his appeal would not be successful, because he has admitted to actually bowling those no balls. So once the guilt is established, it's just a question of, does the Court of Arbitration for Sport then have any leeway to actually reduce his ban when he has received the minimum that the ICC can impose? So he doesn't think his appeal will be successful. I mean, who knows? I mean, would the ICC get involved and you know, say something on his behalf? I doubt it. So where does that leave him? So he could certainly have a go at it, but if his legal advice is that he won't be successful, then he probably wishes to spare himself the trauma and the circus of having to go all through this again.
Fascinating insight, and we'll be following that, I'm sure, with great interest in the coming weeks and months. Faraz Sawat, as ever, pleasure to talk to you. Have a good week, my friend.
Thank you.
That is Faraz Sawat joining us on World Cricket Weekly Talk, brought to you by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.